أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين. Respected brothers and sisters, young and elders, this is our fifth halaqah about the stories of the prophets, and we are still learning many fruits of the story of Adam عليه السلام. We got to the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ فَتَكُونَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. The ulama say that every letter in the Quran has a purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing, وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ أُسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. He is using the word second, the same precise word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used previously when He talked about marriage and the relationship between spouses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. So you may find second. Second means tranquility, love. Many people think that the second, the tranquility, the love will be found outside of the house. And this is a big mistake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the true sakan is found between spouse and spouse. He also says in another ayah, وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا. Allah has made for you from your houses sakan, tranquility, love. So if anyone is trying to find love and tranquility outside home, this is the biggest mistake. And they are going against a very important law and sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially the young brothers. Listen carefully. Do not think that anyone will love you more than your family. Do not think that anyone will love you more than your parents. Let me tell you a story. This story was narrated by a famous psychologist of the University of Harvard. He said there was a family traveling with a sick child. That child was a girl. She was totally crippled. She only was able to move her head. They were traveling in a train. The train was passing on the top of a railroad that is built on the top of a huge lake. There was an accident. The train fell down into the water. What did the parents of that young child do? Take a guess. Automatically, without thinking, they lifted the child up, they saved her, and both died. That is the love of the parents. No one on earth will love you more than your parents. No one will be able to sacrifice their life, have the love and courage to sacrifice their life for you more than your parents. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Adam, abide, uskun, anta wa zawjuka, you and your wife in the Jannah, meaning the first message in this ayah, the true sakan, the true tranquility, the true love is found at home, nowhere else. And notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you and your wife. What does that mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of the greatest success at the last day of judgment and also the greatest loss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قل إن الخاسرين الذين خسروا أنفسهم وأهليهم يوم القيامة. Say, the true losers are the ones who have lost themselves and their families at the last day of judgment. Meaning that Jannah is for family, and the true loss is when someone loses themselves or their family at the last day of judgment. This is an important point, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us indirectly, like He told Adam, take your wife and abide in Jannah, He wants our homes to be part of Jannah also. This is a great message. And our homes will become part of Jannah when we apply the etiquettes of Islam, the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How does the husband treat the wife? How the wife treats the husband? How the children respect their parents? And how the parents have rahmah on their children? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Adam, abide you and your wife. Take your wife with you. She is your partner to Jannah. وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. You eat from anywhere you want, but do not approach that tree. And the ulama say that the tree was a normal tree. Just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picked any tree. He said, do not approach that tree. And this is the second lesson, my dear respected brothers and sisters, young and elders, that the halal, the mubah, is so many. We have so many items on the halal menu. So many items. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us many, many, many items on the halal menu. And the haram is limited. So, Iblis, as we will see, will try always to use our imagination to make us think that the haram is better than the halal, that the haram is more delicious than the halal, that we will have more happiness in the haram than the halal. But it's not true, because we have so many things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made lawful and halal than the haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ تَعَالَوْا أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ. Come, so I can give you the list of the haram things. Now, this is very important. Why? It's like, for example, I have 5 balls out of 100 balls, color red, and the rest are white and yellow and blue and other colors. Which way is easier? To say that number 5, number 15, 25, 30, and 40 are red, or to start naming the other 95? The easier way is to name the few. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the Quran, come so I can tell you what Allah had made haram for you, is telling us that the haram is little and few, and the halal is huge and vast. My dear respected brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam and his wife Hawa, if you eat from that tree, you will be min al-zalimin. Al-zulmu, injustice in Islam, is to put something in its incorrect place. Something, somebody, anything to be put in its correct place, that is zulm. So Adam and his wife, when they ate from the tree, they put themselves in a situation that they should not have done. And that was zulm on their part. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand this issue of zulm, injustice. It's not only involving the rights. It is involving anything we do on a daily basis. Our words, our actions. Anytime we say something improper, knowingly Anytime we do something improper, knowingly, that is part of dhulum. And in that case, we are committing dhulum against our own nafs. Now, the second ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا. And shaitan made them slip. When Dr. Jeffrey Lang, the ex-atheist who became a Muslim after reading this story, he said, when I read that word, I could not believe my eyes. The Quran is saying that the first sin and the greatest sin, according to Christianity, why humans were sent to earth as a punishment, the Quran is calling that as a slip. What is a slip? A slip is when you lose your focus momentarily. It's something minor. He said, this is impossible. How can the Quran do that? He said, I took the translation of the Quran. I went to my Arab friend and I said, read this ayah. فَأَزَلَّهُمَا. He said, this word. He said, well, فَأَزَلَّهُمَا means slip. So Dr. Jeffrey Lang started to think. Said, maybe I'm trying to impose and force the Christian view on the Quran. Maybe it was a slip. Because overall, Adam and Hawa just ate a couple pieces of fruit. They did not kill someone. They did not steal the richness of a whole country. They did not walk up with corruption. They just ate a couple of pieces of fruit. And Dr. Jeffrey Lang, according to the Aqidah of Islam, is right. And this is a point that I would like to explain because it has to do with our Aqidah regarding the Anbiya. Was Adam a Nabi? Yes or no? Of course he was. If he was a Nabi and he did a mistake, how should we see the mistakes of the Anbiya? Because it has to do with their ismah. We believe that al-Anbiya ma'sumun. They are infallible. They are protected from error. So the ulama are telling us that we must know and understand that the Anbiya are protected from any mistake regarding the delivery of the message, the Risalah. The Anbiya delivered the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely, without addition, without subtraction, without mistakes. We must understand this. So it is impossible for the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lie on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is impossible. It's impossible for the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do a mistake in the delivery of the Risala. Even when they get sick or something happens to them, it is impossible that they deliver anything of the Risala incompletely or add to it or commit a mistake. The ulama also say that the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are protected from al-kaba'ir. They do not commit major sins. On the other hand, the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have certain ijtihad. Ijtihad means that they apply what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught them to certain circumstances. Because of their ijtihad, sometimes they put things in different priority. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to them the perfect priority. Example, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was interrupted by Hadrat Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he kept talking to the leaders of Quraysh. He was talking to them. Hadrat Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu ta'ala anhu interrupted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet, do not take it too hard on yourself. He came to you with a talab, asking for knowledge, you attend him. So when Adam alayhi salam ate from the tree, it was a minor thing, because the Anbiya do not make major sins. That is our aqidah. Shaitan played a trick on Adam alayhi salam and his wife using the imagination. Adam alayhi salam is in Jannah. He has everything. He has all kinds of pleasure. Trees. He does not get thirsty or hungry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him clothing. So shaitan knew that he cannot compete with the Jannah of Adam. He could not bring another Jannah better than the Jannah that Allah has given to Adam and his wife. So how did shaitan play the trick? It's called the anti-shukr formula. That's how shaitan was able to make Adam and his wife slip. How did he do it? Iblis came to Adam and his wife and said, هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَىٰ قَالَ يَا آدَمُ هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَىٰ شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَىٰ He created in the mind of Adam an imagination for something eternal that does not vanish or go away. Meaning, how good this Jannah, Iblis is saying to Adam, if there is something that will be eternal and will not vanish, and you will be given the eternal kingdom. So, my dear respected brothers and sisters, young and elders, when our minds get occupied by the things that we don't have, that is the perfect situation and the perfect formula for shaitan to make us slip. That's why shukr is the best way to protect ourselves from sin. And the first step in shukr is to realize the ni'mah of Allah, to feel it. To feel that I owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this ni'mah. To know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me all these ni'am. You know how many stories we have heard about some brothers. Shaitan starts playing with their head. They say, look here, look there. They have a wife at home, but now shaitan tells them, look here, look there. They have something, shaitan is inviting them to look at what they don't have. So this is the way that shaitan make us slip. We have to feel and remember the ni'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time we remember the ni'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do an action to make the shukr of that ni'mah, Allah will increase us. Now, another action is required to do the shukr of the increase of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do this second shukr, Allah will increase us the third time. If we do the shukr of this third time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep increasing us up to the point that you will find, inshallah, yourself doing huge things that people need 100 years to do. This is the formula of shukr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the barakah of shukr. Every time He increases, we should increase our shukr. Likewise, Shaitan wants us to forget the ni'am that we have and think of what we do not have. That's why Hadrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates a beautiful hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and all the hadith of the Prophet are beautiful. Narrated by Imam Bukhari, he said, I heard my beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, لو كان لابن آدم واديان من مال لأحب أن يكون له الثالث ولا يملأ جوف ابن آدم إلا التراب ويتوب الله على من تاب. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I heard my beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, if the son of Adam had two valleys of money, he would like to have the third one. He wants the third one. And the appetite of the son of Adam will not be felt except by turab, when he goes to qabr, soil. وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابْ. And whosoever makes tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not deprive them from repentance. So we must remember the ni'mah. We must remember that we owe it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must do shukr. Let me give an example. The famous story that I heard from a great scholar. He said, suppose somebody was traveling with his family. His car got stuck. So he had to pull over on the highway. A person who knows him came and said, Jazakallah khair, my brother. Take my car and go. I will take care of your car. So our friend took the car and he went to complete his mission. The other person took the car back home, fixed it for our friend, and he put it in front of his house. What do you think? Should our friend be grateful or not? Of course. Now, after 6 months, that same guy, our friend, he had kidney failure. And the doctors told him he had to replace at least one kidney. So he put an announcement in the newspaper for people to donate a kidney for him. And when he was checking the people, he found that same guy who helped him with the car, making the line, ready to donate a kidney for him. Now, what do you think? He is not grateful. Now he feels that he owes that brother something huge. He is waiting for the moment and the day to give him back, to pay him back. Do you think that if that person calls our friend at 3 a.m. in the morning and tells him, I need your help for something, do you think that our friend will run to help him? Yes or no? Of course. Now think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us ni'am that no one can give us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us from nowhere. We were nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the karamat of human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the karamat of hidayah of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing for us every single day. Now we all know that it is impossible that one day will come and we will pay Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need anyone or anything. But our shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to do what He loves and to stay away from the things that He does not love. That is the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Iblis made Adam and his wife slip, and it was a minor sin. Adam forgot the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَا فِيهِ وَقُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٍ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, go down, you will be enemies to each other. Meaning, insan and shaitan. My dear respected brothers and sisters, young and elders, the only declared enemy for humanity is shaitan. Insan has no other enemy except shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوًا فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Most certainly shaitan has been your enemy, so you take him as your enemy. So Dr. Jeffrey Lang said, well, this author of the Quran has changed the story, because he was not Muslim at the time, he was an atheist. He said, I grew up with the story that Adam and Eve ate from the tree, then the rage of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came and they were expelled to the earth. Now Adam has to work very hard and sweat in the earth. Eve has to suffer the pain of menstrual period and labor pain and all that. So he says, well, maybe now I will find the rage. The rage that Adam and Eve were expelled and they are on earth, not because what the Quran has declared at the beginning of the story, that they have a great mission here, but because they ate from the tree. But then the ayah came to eliminate this forever from the head of Dr. Jeffrey Lang. He read the following ayah. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allahu Akbar. Dr. Jeffrey Lang said, I felt the emotion of a mother and father receiving their children. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expressing His mercy to the repentance of Adam and his wife. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ. And Adam and his wife, of course, received words from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who taught them how to repent. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his repentance. Certainly, Allah, إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. The one who accepts tawbah, the eternally merciful. And at this moment, I would like to remind my dear respected brothers and sisters, young and elders, of the six conditions of tawbah before I close the class tonight. For tawbah to be correct, there are six conditions. Number one is niyyah, intention. And remember the example that we gave before? Somebody went to rob a bank. He saw a police car. He came back. Is this tawbah? Is this repentance? The answer is no. Why? Because he didn't have intention. He did not rob the bank because he saw the police car. So my young brothers, if you are going to do something wrong, then you see your father and you stop from doing it, that is not repentance. Huh? If somebody wants to do something incorrect and he sees the teacher and doesn't do it, that is not repentance. Niyyah has to be there. The second condition is the feeling of regret. This emotion of, Ya Allah, I have done something wrong, must be in the heart. It's called nadam in Arabic. The emotion of regret. The heart has to feel the emotion of regret that, Ya Allah, I have done something wrong. The third condition is full determination not to go back to the sin. So niyyah is in the heart, the emotion of regret is in the heart, and the determination not to go back to the sin is also in the heart. Number four, to quit the sin. Number five, to be on time. Remember the example we gave? That soccer player, he made the most beautiful goal, but it didn't count. Why? Because he scored after the final whistle of the referee. So the most beautiful goal didn't count because it was out of time. So tawbah has to be done on time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih Hadith, تُقْبَلُ تَوْبَةُ الْعَبْدِ مَا لَمْ يُغَرْغِرْ أَوْ تَطْلُعَ الشَّمْسُ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا. Allah, says the Prophet, would accept the repentance of the servant except when his ruh in gharghara, when his ruh reaches the throat, or the sun comes from the west. Because when the sun comes of the west, everybody will realize and know that the day of judgment is near and all the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are true. The sixth condition, which is very, very, very important. If the right or the sin involves one of the brothers or the sisters or any other human being, this right has to be given back. This is the difficult one, my dear respected brothers and sisters. So tawbah has six conditions. Five of them are valid if the sin is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like for example not praying. But when the human being is involved, then the sixth condition must be added. I must give the right back. And for that matter, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated the famous hadith of the bankrupt. Al-Muflis. The bankrupt. This hadith was narrated by Imam Muslim and Imam Tirmidhi. And then Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, atadruna man al-Muflis? Qalu ya Rasulullah, al-Muflisu man la dirhama lahu wa la mata'. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, who is, you think, is the bankrupt? They said, Ya Rasulullah, the bankrupt, somebody who has lost all his money and belongings. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْمُفْلِسُ مِنْ أُمَّتِي, the bankrupt from my ummah. So from the ummah of Rasulullah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, some people will be bankrupt. Who are they? مَنْ يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِصَلَاةٍ وَصِيَامٍ وَزَكَاةٍ. He would come at the last day of judgment, with his salah, with his fasting, with his zakah, and all good deeds. وَلَكِنَّهُ شَتَمَ هَذَا, he used to swear at some people. وَقَذَفَ هَذَا, accused another person. وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا, and he took unlawfully the money of the other person. وَسَفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا, and he killed another one. وَضَرَبَ هَذَا, and he beaten another one. فَيَأْخُذُ هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ, everybody will take from his hasanat until all his hasanat are gone. The Prophet ﷺ says, and if he did not fulfill the right, then it will be taken from their sayyi'at and put on his sayyi'at, and he will be thrown in hellfire. That is the bankrupt. My dear respected brothers, young and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in these beautiful ayat, we are summarizing now. وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. Jannah is not Jannah without family, without our loved ones. So we have to take care of our family. This was our first message. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, uskun. This word was used with the spouse and was used in the Quran with the homes and the houses. So our homes and houses must be Jannah on earth. How? By following the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anytime we do not fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah, we are committing dhulm, either against ourselves or against others. Shaitan was able to make Adam and his wife slip because he created an imaginary picture for them for the things that they did not have. And this is called the anti-shukr formula. So the best way to protect ourselves from sinning is by remembering the bounties and ni'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must remember the ni'mah, and we must remember al-mun'im, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must do shukr. Every time we do shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will increase us. If we do shukr to the new ni'mah, Allah will increase us more, and so on and so forth, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us bounties and ni'am that people need hundreds of years to do, and we will be able to do with shukr in very small time with very small effort. And finally, we must do tawbah all the time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, make repentance and tawbah to Allah because I do so more than 70 times. In the other narration, he said, I do tawbah 100 times. So I'm asking you a question. Was Rasulullah s.a.w. making tawbah about 100 times every day because he used to sin 100 sins? No. This is called tawbatul inabah, which means, tawbah means to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even there is no sin, meaning I feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great and there is nothing I can do to fulfill His haqq. That's why when Aisha asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why do you make so much qiyamul layl? He said, afala akunu abdan shakura. So tawbah means to repent from a sin if there is a sin. But we can make another type of tawbah, which is the tawbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to do it 100 times every day, which is to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Ya Allah, no matter what I do, I will never fulfill your haqq and fulfill your greatness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to apply in our lives and spread the message. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.